This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and thanks for staying with us on the Morning Run. I'm Koo Sitrong with Philip C and Wong Xiaoning. Now let's move on to the COVID-19 vaccination discussion. And globally, over 2 billion people have received at least one dose of a vaccine. Children, though, below the age of 18 have largely been sidelined.
In this mass exercise. Now, several countries have approved the use of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for teenagers aged between 12 to 15, including the US, UK and Singapore. In Malaysia, the National Pharmaceutical Regulatory Agency, NPRA, is currently studying whether the Pfizer vaccine can be administered for under-18s here. The Health Minister, Datuk Sri Dr. Adam Baba, said that 12 to 17-year-olds could be included in the fifth phase of the National Immunisation Programme.
Well, to date, I think the reason why we are asking this question is because over 80,000 children have actually tested positive for COVID-19 since the start of the pandemic. Now, in light of the current surge in cases and the dangers posed by variants, what should we be looking to vaccinate children sooner rather than later?
So to talk about this, we have on the line with us Emeritus Professor P.T. Thomas, Executive Dean at the Faculty of Health and Medical Science at Taylor's University. Prof, thank you for talking to us. Now, globally, which vaccines have received some form of approval to be administered to kids under 18, people under 18, and where is this being rolled out?
Good morning, and thank you very much for having me on the show. Globally, the two vaccines that have been approved for the use of those 12 to 17 has been Pfizer and Moderna. Of course, these are the manufacturers. Everyone is familiar with calling these vaccines by the name of the manufacturer. For example, Pfizer is actually Comirnaty, but not many people know that it's Comirnaty. So for the sake of clarity, I will stick to the name of the manufacturer. So the Pfizer vaccine, as was mentioned earlier, has been approved in the US, the UK, Singapore, and the Philippines. Moderna has been approved in the US, and it will be just a matter of time before it is approved in other countries. It has been trialed since the beginning of the year after some measure of confidence was obtained through its use in adults. And so in January or February, they started using it in children between 12 and 17. And it has been found to be as effective or even more effective than what they have found in adults. So we are on the right track. There are some reports that in China, the Sinovac has already been given to children. And so we hope that we will hear some good news from the NPRA and the Ministry of Health soon.
So 2 to 3 vaccines generally approved. So there's much more to do. What have been the challenges in conducting vaccine trials on children, especially younger ones?
Yes. Good question. So, you know, for any new drug or any vaccine, the two groups that are last to be trialed are children and pregnant women. And in pregnant women, the target is not so much the mother, but the unborn child. So in both cases, it's children who are from 0 to 17 years, and the child who is unborn and in the mother's womb. So always, this is the last group in which it is trialed. And so we have now some measure of confidence after about a year of using the vaccines in adults, and then they have started the trials in children. So the challenges are, you know, you can't look at a child as a mini adult. That is very wrong. Mm. That what is, okay in an adult, you can just half the dose and give it to a child. That's not true. The child's immune system and metabolic system and organ functions vary considerably from adults. And so the trials have to be done in children. And like I said, after we have obtained a certain level of confidence of its safety and efficacy in adults, it was done in children. Another minor point is that one of the important concept of modern clinical trials is informed consent. Now, can a child give informed consent? But that is overcome by the adults or the guardian giving the informed consent. But that's not a major problem. Some people may make an issue out of it as an ethical issue, but that is accepted. So those are some of the challenges. And it is not just for this vaccine. It is the same for any new medicine or drug.
Okay, Professor, can I just ask, though, what are the considerations that need to be taken into account when administrating vaccines to children? What should parents be aware of?
Well, parents should observe the child for any side effects. And so far, there is nothing, no unusual side effects detected in children in the trials that they've done in a few thousand children. So those are things like, you know, if you have a fever, if you have pain at the site of injection, if the child feels tired, and things like that, has got chills, those are usual. But if there are unusual effects, if the child, you know, faints or has rashes all over the body, you know, something that looks out of the ordinary, then that is a cause for concern, and the parents should take the child to see a medical practitioner.
Yeah, Prof, do you see vaccine hesitancy becoming a major issue when it comes to vaccinating children?
You use the word major. I'm not sure it is going to be a major issue, but it could be a problem among parents who are not sure about taking the vaccine for themselves, for whatever reason. Many people are adopting a wait-and-see attitude, let others take it. Many people have changed their minds after they have seen their friends and relatives getting it, or having seen the effects of the infection in their friends and relatives. And so people have changed their minds. And so vaccine hesitancy itself, I don't see as a major issue. I think a bigger issue is the active anti-vaxxers who spread propaganda about unproven claims and other issues about the vaccine.
Yeah, Prof, can I get your feedback on the rollout strategy? Because Singapore seems to be overlapping it with the adults and teenagers, whereas in Malaysia, we're thinking about it in sequence, we're in phase five. What's your view? Do you think we can overlap or should overlap it?
So there are two issues there. One is, I think you can overlap, and you should. You should give to as many people and all segments of the population as quickly as possible. But the issues will be the availability of the vaccines, the supply, and secondly, the sites for administration. If both of these are sufficient, then you should vaccinate everyone, children from 12 and above, and adults. But in the absence of such a free and free availability of vaccines and sites, then you need to prioritize the population, which is what the government is doing. Elderly, those with comorbidities, frontliners, and then finally the children, because the children have a much less severe disease if they are infected and they recover better.
Okay, thanks. Thanks so much for your time. That was Professor Emeritus P.T. Thomas, Executive Dean and Faculty of Health and Medical Sciences at Taylor's University. Now, I mean, this discussion becomes more germane because when you look at it, right, the health minister has said at the end of May that over 82,000 infants and children in Malaysia have tested positive for the virus. So beyond the scientific discussions for and against vaccinating children, the caseload seems to suggest that this is much more relevant at no other point than the current.
Yeah, and I think he's saying also, look, as long as you prioritize all those vulnerable groups, and then when you start talking about adults, then it's okay to kind of overlap it on the proviso that you have sufficient infrastructure and supply on the ground to disseminate the vaccine.
Yeah, this morning we did ask on a poll whether children should be included in the COVID-19 national vaccination program. And as usual, we have had millions of votes, with the bulk of them actually close to 50% saying yes, whilst 28% say not yet, and 20% say not sure. Only a very small group, 4%, say no.
Yeah, and because the prevalence of surges and mutations have become so commonplace, it's difficult for this optionality to remain in place. And we can see that as you're discussing, in the aviation industry, in investment banking, and maybe more widely as we go further on
into the
future.
Especially, I think, at the end of the day, if you want your kids to go back to school, you want them to go back with a peace of mind that they'll be all right. you know, that they're not going to catch COVID-19 or bring it home.
The number, as you said, 82,000 cases of a total of 634,000 cases.
That's more than 10%. That's
more than 10% are children.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.